Well, at this time, I just want to have us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to thank my husband. I'm so grateful for him. Honestly, these are big shoes to fill. This was pre-planned, you know, beforehand that he was going to have me teach. And he's like, be ready. You're going to teach. And sometimes it may seem that I have a lot of just confidence. I do know who I'm called to be. I do understand my gifts, but it's not easy. These are big shoes to fill. It's not easy to just get up and communicate the word that God's put in your spirit. And so I'm just so grateful for my husband. He's a mentor to me, a coach. And next week, we're going to be celebrating 9 years of marriage. In the Lord, God has been faithful. He's been so faithful. And I love him more and more each day. So I'm really grateful. I'm really, really grateful. You know, and it's for so many reasons. I was going to say, the man that you see here is the man that you see out there. He won me over. I was a saved woman. I was saved serving the Lord, committed to God. And his leadership, his devotion to the Lord won my heart. It wasn't anything else. It was the passion he had for Jesus. And I'm just so grateful that that passion persists. And I see this man. He's a man of character. So I love you. Happy early anniversary. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand as we read the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. When you have it, say amen. The Bible reads like this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just thank you for your word, for the power of your word. We thank you, Father, that you've spoken, God, and Lord, that you have a word for us today, that you're building us up and that you're doing something new, that you're creating in us a faithful stewardship to handle everything you've put in our possessions. We're just so grateful to you, Lord God, and we give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, found faithful. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, God bless you. Smile at somebody, amen. Listen, for the last 2 weeks, this is our third week, Pastor has been talking about breaking the bondage of debt. You may be seated. Not only breaking the bondage of debt, but it was titled Keys to Financial Freedom, right? And he opened up with breaking the bondage of debt, and he began to share with us a story about Elijah, right, where Elijah went to the widow who, her husband was a prophet. He was in the school of prophets, and, you know, he left his wife in debt. How many know Christians can still be in debt, right? We could be good in all areas and then have just this noose around our neck, you know, of debt. And so what happened was Elijah came in, and then he began to perform a miracle. He taught that woman so many things. So the Lord was showing us through what Pastor was saying, breaking the bondage of debt is possible, and to give God all the glory, understanding that he owns everything. And that last week he talked about we have to make a plan for our money. The scripture, Proverbs 21:5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. That we have to plan for a rainy day. And Joseph was the example there last week. We looked at Joseph, the man that God had set aside. He was in the shadow of God's hand. He went through many trials, many things that would have caused us to break, to crack. But because of his integrity, this man kept understanding that God had a purpose for his life. And he really didn't know exactly what it was, but God used him to provide provisions for the entire, not only the nation and the land of Egypt, but the surrounding nations that they were able to save in time for a famine. Right? And so we got to see the power of God there. And today I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about financial integrity. I want to talk about stewardship, the right, wrong way to prosper, and the importance of striving for financial integrity. So understanding stewardship. What we desire to do here in this church, and even by talking about this, we don't want to just change your situation. We want to change hearts. Our heart's desire is that we would grow in this area because everything starts at home, right? It starts at home. So we desire that we would grow in this area. Billy Graham said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it'll help him straighten out almost every area in his life. Tell me what you think about money, and I can tell you what you think about God, for those two are closely related. A man's heart is closer to his wallet than almost anything. See, a steward is called to be three things. It's a manager, not an owner. Number one, God owns all. The Bible says it clearly, Psalms 24, verse 1. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Number two, we are all stewards. He owns it. He puts it in our charge. It's not ours to do anything but manage and care properly for. Amen? And three, we have a responsibility to manage it for his glory. We have to manage God's blessings, God's ways, for God's glory. Stewardship's responsibility. We have a responsibility to charge over something. Responsibility simply means answerable, accountable for something within one's power, control, or management. It starts with our own lives, yielding our hearts, yielding our lives to the Lord in every way. That's our responsibility. We can't put off till tomorrow what should be done today. Abraham Lincoln said you can't escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Procrastinators can be poor with time management, but we're called to be good stewards, to not have a lack of focus, a lack of proper priority. But a steward must be found faithful. Someone say faithful. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now see, there's the right and the wrong way to prosper. There's a right and wrong way to prosper. And I want to talk about this morning, prospering without guilt. Prospering without guilt. The Bible says that good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The principles upon which a person builds his financial future is important. What are principles? Those are the main values. Those are the main beliefs, right? Honesty has to be in the equation. Integrity has to be in the equation. Conviction has to be there. You know, what's heavy is that a lot of us, we didn't grow up with anyone really schooling us and teaching us how to do anything with finances. You may have had somebody who had things in order and taught you well, but a lot more of us, we just looked out to the world and we saw what it was to have big things and we just assumed that's what I want, right? Maybe you had someone who sat you down and was able to tell you little bits and pieces of how to get things together, but then you watch their life and they were in debt and you watch them lose their house and their car be repossessed and, you know, you were unable to really see an example of how do I handle money. A lot of times we looked up to our big brothers. How many have older siblings or older cousins or uncles that were hustlers? They just did their thing by any means necessary, definitely contrary to God's word, but that's how they got by. And a lot of times we didn't have anyone to really teach us or instruct us about our money. It's a lot like parenting. It doesn't really come with the manual. Well, we have the word of God, right? We have the word of God to teach us, but in general, you just can't break it down. You have to search it out and figure it out. Same thing with finances. You know, the Bible has over 2,000 scriptures on finances. Finances are not just for us to give unto the Lord for the work of the kingdom. That is important. Finances are for us to have success in life, to be able to give and to be able to provide for our families. Finances are so much more than that. Do you know that money is amoral? That means it doesn't have a moral. If I were holding a brick and I wanted one, I saw someone else do this demonstration, so I want to share it with you. The man did this. He had a brick. And he said, this brick here, it is a lot like money. It's amoral. If I put the brick into a hand of a thief, and the thief decides to throw the brick to crash a window of a showroom store because he wants to rob it, well, then the brick was intended. It was used for bad. But if that same brick is used to build a church, come on, somebody, if that same brick you put in the hand of a man or a woman of God and it begins to establish a hospital or something good, then what? Then it is being used for good. See, money is the same way. And we have to understand that God owns all. We have to get some of the facades out of our minds that we think that hustling is the way to get by and all those people that they floss and they're driving these high, you know, these cars that they barely can pay for. They're trying to impress people they don't even know, that they're never gonna even meet in their lives, just to impress somebody at a stoplight. Come on, or just impress somebody at the gas station. That's the culture. That may not be true for you, but that's the culture. Everyone is comparing themselves with themselves. The Bible calls that unwise. And I want to talk about who has ever taught us about money. I'm not proclaiming to be the greatest teacher. I can just follow the word of God. And if we can understand that, it's not money. Money is just a tool. That's all it is a tool. But when our hearts desire it and we want it and we think about it day and night, we need more, don't have enough, there's a spirit. You know, the eighth commandment is thou shall not steal. There are many ways that we can break the eighth commandment. When God says don't steal, he's keeping a record of those who do. And I know that I'm so grateful he washed my sins away, because I was a thief and I was a liar. I came up looking at others wanting to get what they had, and I found manipulation came into my life early on, and I could figure it out, and I stole all the time. Now, that's not true for all of you, and I hope you don't see me differently. And it doesn't matter if you do, because I've been washed by the blood, and I live on by the word of God. But I want to tell you that there had to be a change, because I didn't understand how to be any different. No one ever sat me down and schooled me, but I certainly was a thief. You see, a lot of people try to come up, but they never prosper. Remember, we're talking about prospering God's way, prospering without guilt. There's a lot of people that have a get-rich-quick scheme. How many of you ever read a Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or any kind of rich, you know, magazine, or how'd they do it, or ever buy into a subscription to figure out, how can I make money work for me? Real estate investment. What can I do to come up? Okay, how many of you, like, I know a story. This one of the sisters, she was just telling me recently, she gets WIC. She gets a lot of WIC, which is Washington State Assistance. She got so much of it that she didn't need the formula, so she was selling it on Craigslist. Then she said, I had to shut that down because the investigators were coming after us. And I was able to minister to her. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we try to come up. How about, does anyone have a friend that works for the DMV? Has you ever have somebody that's in a place of position, they're entrusted with something for a company or for someone else, but you know that you can, you could call your friend and, you know, I didn't get my emissions test, but I need to get my tabs, and I'll just slip you a 50, slip you a 100. Come on, somebody. Like, come on, it's in real life. And I'm not just talking about everybody else's backyard. Let's look at our own hearts this morning. We all have ways within us that can be tempted to steal. We can't say, oh, we're not doing as bad as them. You know, lying on my taxes. I had a friend, man, a good friend. And to this day, she won't marry the man that she lives with, because if she does, she'll have to report it to the IRS and she won't give back as many taxes. That's sad. That's real, though. Come on, that's real. We can think of probably some of the things that we've done that we're still doing, but I want to encourage us. Let's not even worry about my neighbor or the others, but my own heart. In what ways am I stealing? The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It's a mindset that has to be shattered. We got to talk about it, because that's the way culture is. That's the way culture is. See, God's given us a responsibility to be stewards. That's why, to be honest, if we have the mindset of come up and we steal, that's why promotion is passing us by. That's why it's not coming to us. See, because success comes from the north, the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1, chapter 8. That's my favorite foundational scripture. Study the book of the law. Meditate on it. Be, you know, put our minds to the word of God. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1:8, it says, and then you will be prosperous and successful. But sometimes we think money is prosperous. No, that's a spirit. Money is a tool. It's just a tool. I heard another story of a man I was reading on just short stories to help communicate the message. And I'm going to condense this story, but it's a short story of a man who had a beautiful family, and he got married, and then he started to have children, and he had to work. And so he would work so hard, and his wife would say, I wish you would stay home more. And he said, I will. Let me get this degree. So I'm going to work until I can, you know, get this degree, and then I can get another position. His kids started to get older. His kids wanted him to stay home. They wanted him to, you know, be there for him, go to practices, go to his games. And he said, you know, I will. I'm doing this for the betterment of our family. It's going to be better one day. So the kids continued to grow up, and he continued to excel in his career and get his schooling. And years continued to pass by, and now the kids were you know, teenagers. And the kids said, Dad, when is it going to be enough? And he came home, and He said, I got a promotion. I got the promotion I've been needing. He said, I'm not going to have to work so hard anymore. I'm not going to have to go to school. I'm not going to miss out on afternoon events, anything that you guys are involved. I'm going to be there for you. Matter of fact, this three-bedroom apartment's too small. I'm going to get us a house. And then they went and got a house. And then he went and got a maid for his wife. And so she wouldn't have to clean. And he said, here going forward, I'm going to be here every night for dinner. That night he went to bed. And that morning, he didn't wake up. And it was heavy because it's just a short story. But it's heavy because sometimes our pursuits have good, motives, so we think, but we're missing out on life. We're missing out on real life. We got to do what we're called to do. There's a lot of wisdom in this. But we can't spend our life neglecting what really matters most, God. And then family. Come on, somebody. Family. The family of God. We don't want to work so hard. Amen. And I want to tell you another thing is sometimes the enemy keeps us down. We have a mindset of struggle. And that's what I want to attempt to really break wide open, a mindset of struggle. I never can. It's for them. Why? Why is it only for them? I have proof in the Word of God that integrity elevates a man. I have proof in the Word of God because I choose to make the Word of God my foundation, my starting point. It's the infallible Word of God. There's power in the Word. Integrity. Joseph, it could have seemed like he had a good starting off, as Pastor talked about him last week. He came from a prominent family, but he was sold to slaves. He was in the belly of a prison. This man was mistreated, and he could have said, oh me, oh my, like so many of us do. My situation is worse than all the world. I can't do anything. But he said, I choose to trust the Lord my God. And his integrity, that's something that gets the attention of God. Where are the men and women of integrity? Why do we always take shortcuts? The Bible says that hard work and diligence, hard work and planning produces prosperity. But hasty shortcuts leads to poverty. That poverty struggle mentality. I'm going to go forward before I get too far ahead of myself, but I want to shatter that mentality. Listen, why not you? And I'm not just talking Russell Simmons. Praise God, because that's an encouraging statement. But why not you? Listen, if you can allow your heart to respond to the Word of God, then yes, it can be you. That's the thing. We're not pursuing money. Don't pursue finances only. Bigger picture. God is expanding your growth. Some of you have forgotten about your callings. What has God called you to do? What does God want you to do in this world? What mark are you going to make in this world? To all the glory will go to Him, not the limelight. But the opportunity to win souls. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. The Bible talks so much about the calling, stirring that gift inside. What has God called you to do? If you had more finances, would you be able to do more of that which God designed you for? Would you be able to reach out and reach souls? Could you believe that you could have so much increase? Don't say, well, how? Just think about it. Think, dream for a moment. Could you believe that you could have so much increase that you could sponsor things that need to be done, like establish a woman's home right here in Pierce County? Come on, somebody. A woman's home where drug addicts and prostitutes and women can come off the streets. Could you believe for that? Why not? Listen, God will give you, He will get it to who He can get it through. And I want to share that, listen, don't stop dreaming. Not about finances and big cars. Big cars to impress who? All you need is enough to fit your family, whatever that is. Not the latest and the greatest. Big houses for what? Maybe to host people, but other than that, you know what I mean? That's a lot more cleaning you got to do. Sometimes we're so in love with the empty facade of MTV and all these people that seem to have it all together. They don't seem to have it all together, but seem to have it all. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Their souls are broken. They're empty. They can't have friends because everyone around them is greedy. We live in a world of takers. Takers. How much can I get for free without doing any work? How much can I get? And then we want what that person has that worked hard to get it. We get jealous and they work hard. They've given over hour after hour, getting up early, long hours, worked hard. And we want to just take it from them. And then we expect to really come up. You can have a come up mindset, but you will never prosper. We will never prosper. We have to do things with integrity. We have to do things honestly. Listen, there's hope because although a lot of us are in a society that just thinks so wrong, so backwards, listen, there's hope. There's breakthrough in the Word of God. There's a lot of wrong ways to prosper. Dishonesty, which is, we have to have fairness in every, I just wanted to bring up two things. Dishonesty, we have to have fairness in every business deal when buying or selling. That's honest. God's going to make some of you business owners if you're not already. But sometimes we want to be so dishonest, and I just want to bring this out. It's important to be honest in business deals. You ever try to hustle someone? And it's okay. I'm okay with, you know, saying that's not good enough, getting a good deal at the, I'm going to just say swap meet or at the furniture store, wherever you're headed. You know, cash is king. You show them cash, and hopefully you're getting a good deal. I'm all for that. But, you know, you can't get, you know, you can't just take somebody. That's like hood mentality. You got to pay a fair price. Are you following me? Sometimes we just want everything free, everything free. People say, you know, we do car wash, donation only. And sometimes people are so generous. They give $20, $10. The youth are out there working their hearts, you know, working all hard. And then you have someone that gives them like 25 cents. It's happened. $2. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe that's what they had. I'm showing the picture, right? Sometimes, you know, that we want to just take things. We don't even want to pay a fair price. I don't want us to be a dishonest people. I want God to bless you. I want God to bless your household. Listen, ministry starts with the man. Ministry starts with the woman. It starts with you as an with me as an individual. And it starts at home. How am I with my spouse and my children? And is there integrity at home? You know, am I the same way here as when I go to work and when I go to church? That's the type of people that are honest and that our hearts are really set on doing what's right based on the Word of God. You know, defrauding, I always thought of fraud, but defrauding means illegally obtaining money from someone by deception. You ever defrauded somebody? I can laugh because I sure enough have. I have. We did everything wrong with money. And I had a spirit of mammon so strong in my life. But the Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, the Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but he delights in accurate weights. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Malachi 3:8-9 says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. See, people who don't pay the tithe or a tenth or their income often have poor financial habits, and it leaves them broke soon after payday. And this is an important area for us to talk about, because let's not take excerpts of the word and say, that's for me, that's for me, that's for me. Not that. None of that. The whole Word of God is acceptable, and the whole Word of God, the Bible talks about how it's acceptable for teaching and for instilling and discipling, right? It talks about in the book of Timothy. We have to accept the whole Word of God. A tithe is commanded. Abraham tithed before the law of Moses. If God, and I want you to look it up, don't always believe the preacher like my husband will say. You study your word. Don't just Google.com it. You study your word for the truth. A tithe is commanded. If God cannot trust us with the first portion, how can he give us our future destiny? Someone just give God praise. It's scriptural. It's systematic. It's simple and it's successful. The only way to get our treasure into heaven is to put it into something that's going to heaven. We exchange our earthly possessions and money into saving souls. The tithe is holy. Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the Lord, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Holy is sacred. It's set apart. God describes, he decides to give us a job or he gives us an increase. It's all from God. He has set you apart and says, bless him. Indeed, I'll open the doors. I'll give you a chance. He begins to bless us and set us apart, but it all comes from God. The tithe doesn't belong to us from the start. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of trust and faithfulness. Amen. God, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon's not money. Mammon was a spirit. It was a spirit that the Canaanites, they went to, that was a god that they worshiped for finances. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that wants to rule us. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now I want to talk about the proper way to prosper. By giving, right? But number one, by working. Working and working hard. Whatever you do, work hard. If you're able-bodied to work, then work. Working is a cuss word these days. Work is the best thing that we can do. Work is our best source of income. Work. Not just because you have felonies, our God can open doors that no man can shut. Just because you think you have no skills, our God can give you what you don't have. Work. Work and work hard. Can somebody say amen? If we are able-bodied, we should work and we should teach that ethic and that principle to our children. Let us not be ones that just pass out everything that they want and need. And I'm trying to give them what I didn't have because I came up in poverty. So I'm going to give them the latest, the flyest, the, you want that, baby? You can have it. What are we teaching our children? That they can just sit there. That's the generation we have. Play video games, watch TV, have the latest and greatest because someone gave it to them without any appreciation. And what happens? They don't know anything about work. No matter how much finances we have, I think we should always train our children to work. Come on, somebody, work and work hard. Number two, by giving. I don't want to just talk about the tithe, but giving. There are people who have needs next to you. Listen, start with that person. You know that your brother has something and you're able to meet that need. Meet the need. Come on, meet the need. You know someone needs groceries. Meet the need. If you're not able to, you pray for them. And when God is able to give you a little bit more, you meet needs of others before, oh, yeah, check off my list. I wanted those. I wanted that. Yep, yep. You know, when we were little, I used to make all kinds of lists. Then I got bigger, and it was like, I'm going to get my house. How am I going to get a house? I'm like, you know, I used to start thinking bigger. But listen, we got to start meeting needs with the resources that God gives us. What can you do for someone else? Your neighbor may need her yard cut. Maybe she's older. Maybe it's hard for her. Maybe there's no man in the house and whatever. Maybe you can do something you can definitely do something for someone else. Generosity, I pray that it would break forth in our church, that we would be a people that don't always expect a return, a pat on the back, a good job. Listen, you'll definitely get that in this church because we believe in encouraging. But in life, listen, you have to refresh others if you want to be refreshed. Giving is a godly principle. Giving comes from God, for he gave his only begotten son. He gave. Listen, give, even if you feel like, what do I have? Give a word of encouragement. Give. If you're stingy, the Bible has a lot to say about stingy people. Stingy with your praise, stingy with your time, stingy with your treasure, stingy with all you got, stingy with your gifts that God gave you. If God has given you something, you stir that up. And now so you can think I'm talking about someone else. No, I'm talking to you. God has given you a gift, and you've got to stir that up. You got to get around people who understand the supernatural. Get around people who understand the power and the presence of God and say, this is what I feel called to do. Can you help me harness this gift? Can you help me? Come on, people, I want our church to be a generous church, a giving church, to be known as that church that gives. We're not the church with handouts. Please don't bring your free things here unless we're having a yard sale. Come on, somebody, we are a church that gives to Pierce County. We will give to those who are in need because we have families that will stand up. We don't need to have much. All we need to do is put our little together and give. Somebody say give. That's the proper way to prosper. Number three, by saving, Pastor talked about that it's important. After you've tithed and you've given and all your needs may be met, God's going to get you to a place where there's something left. Learn to save. Not just splurge on a $100 dinner or on $100 shoes. Come on, somebody. We have to, in the beginning, really learn to save. Somebody say save. Come on. Because listen, Christmas is not an emergency. Okay? It's October 4th. Christmas is in on December 25th. Don't panic December 1st. I'm about, but honey, we got to get the kids something. Oh, we haven't gotten them anything. What about my mom and what about your sister? Christmas is not an emergency. It's always at the same place, the same, no matter what calendar you're looking at, Christmas is December 25th. Don't trip. We think birthdays are emergency. Oh my God, but I can't give my baby everything. It's their birthday. Save. Plan ahead. Think. Amen, somebody? Am I talking to real people with real issues trying to do our very best to serve God? Come on, somebody. Listen, learn to save. Put a little aside and you'll be surprised at what's there. Be intentional. My son's birthday is coming in 6 months. Put something aside. Think ahead. Christmas is in 2 months. Be realistic and please, listen, church, please don't borrow what you can't pay back. Please don't do that to yourself because that'll cause you to, there's seasons where you have to work a little bit more, but that'll cause you to always have to work, always have to be under the gun, always having to provide. You have to pay Visa because, and you can't even pay to get groceries. Don't do that to yourself. Don't tell Macy's, oh, it's good, it's Christmas, I got to get everybody on my list something. Boop, $2,000. Then in January, sitting there depressed. Is there an extra overtime I can take on? What am I going to do? Feeling spiritually bankrupt. Financial issues touch every area of our lives. Do you know it's the number one reason for divorce in Christians? In America, in Christians. It matters. Listen, it touches every area. Let's get it straight. Based on the Word of God, let's do our very best to follow the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Financial integrity is so important. When we prosper, in order to prosper, we have to exercise self-control and live well within our means. We have to break the bondage and the addictions of impressing people. We talked about that. I love the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. What is that scripture saying? We don't look to the world and we don't dare look at the ones who are just competing with each other. And the Bible says comparing themselves amongst each other. We're looking to the Word of God, to the Word of truth, to the Word of hope. Amen? For our financial planning. Versus us looking to the world and just assuming on tomorrow's blessings, spending before we have, looking fly to impress people we don't know, don't care about, we'll never meet, and living at home with frustration and difficulty and stress and pressures that we just don't need to have. Amen? There's freedom in the Word of God. The Bible says, Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. We have to have financial integrity. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 20. This is a heavy portion of Scripture. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it, and I'm going to explain a little bit about it. And I'm going to be finishing up here in just a moment. The Bible says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to be good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. The Bible goes on to say, guard what God has entrusted to you. Here the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy. He was explaining to him and teaching him about the Ephesus church, or the Ephesian church, the people of Ephesus. The Ephesians were, Ephesus was a wealthy city. The Ephesian church was had a lot of wealthy members. Paul advised Timothy to deal with any potential problems by teaching that having riches carries great responsibility. So if you've been blessed with wealth, thank the Lord, right? If we've been blessed with wealth, thank the Lord. And if not, and it goes on to say, but don't be proud and don't trust in your money. The financial values outlined in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 were, this is how he instructed them, okay? So this is wealthy church. Let me just explain a little bit. The church, there was like a divide between the church because there was a lot of wealthy members getting saved, believing in Christ at that time. And you had the really wealthy class, and then you had the what they considered subpar, those who were, you know, didn't have as much or in poverty. They even had slaves in that time. So what he said is, listen, Jesus, he leveled the playing field. It's all the same. So now you got to teach the church how to be. Because they have doesn't make them much more than you or I. And it's funny because, let me just stop and pause. We tend to think, do you ever describe someone? Think about culture. Do you ever describe someone and say, oh, yeah, you know, maybe my aunt is you're describing someone, is going to marry this man and he's great. And, oh, yeah, tell me a little bit about him. Well, da-da-da, he got a lot of money. He's doing real good. He went to school. He's real smart and all that. What do we value in this culture? If they have wealth, we look at them different, right? If people say certain things, what are they known for? We look at them different. And that's what he's telling them. Look, it's an even playing field. We serve the same God. Sometimes we like to floss. The Bible says, do not consider yourself higher than others. The Bible talks about it's important that we esteem others higher than ourselves. Is that what the world does? Listen, as a church, as our church, as our people, we have to esteem others above ourselves. We're not the type. We don't have that mammon spirit where we floss and high-side and, again, impress people we could care less about that don't even know us. We've got to be people that could care less about that image. Listen, it's an even playing field. Whether you have much or you have little, that doesn't determine where you stand in society. In God's kingdom, it's even. How much integrity do you have is the true question. How much honesty, how much real character, given the opportunity to cheat and lie, would you? Right? How many times can we turn from what we used to do, our come-up mindsets, and begin to break that shallow thinking and just understand it's an even playing field? So that's what Apostle Paul is schooling Timothy. He's like, listen, the people of Ephesus, they need to be taught properly. And I just want to pull out a few things and I'm closing. The Bible says, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. See, this is a picture of the exact opposite of what God does. Of what the world does. It's an exact opposite. The truth is, people have never been taught about money. We talked about that. No one's really taught us, let me sit down and do a Bible study with you. How many of you had that privilege? Maybe one person in here, if that. No one raise their hand. Let me sit down and show you what the Bible says about finances. See, that matters. The inward values determine our outward actions. We should pass on biblical values to our children. God forbid that our children always see us in the struggle. They always see us depending on the government, always see us depending on freebies, always see us stressing and fighting and arguing, but we've got the latest and greatest keeping up with the who? The Joneses? The what? The people that are hurting on the inside and they're just trying to impress with Facebook and all the facades. They'll be in the dressing room trying on all that tight gear, taking pictures as if it's really theirs. I mean, that's just the culture that our kids are being raised in. We have to train and teach our children truth. The only truth I know and understand is the Word of God. Everything I say, unless it's the Bible's my opinion. And I believe in the infallible Word of God. If we don't train our children on this area, we teach them about salvation. We teach them about, you know, everything except finances. You are going to have a 35-year-old living in your basement. They're never going to leave. They're not going to know anything about hard work. They're going to stay close and they're going to be uncertain about the future. But if we can show them, no, honey, listen, God teaches us about the Word. This is what the Word says. If you will speak that living Word and desire to have integrity, to honor God and not take the shortcuts that lead to poverty, but hard work and planning that will lead you to a prosperous future. Listen, God will look upon you, sweetheart, as a man or a woman that can be trusted, and God will bestow upon you what he sees fit. Is that not enough? Come on, somebody. Let's train our children. It's never too late. It is never too late. You have to grab a hold of the Word of God. Let them see a living example inside of you. I may have done wrong all these years, but son, daughter, I'm changing my ways. I'm not going to co-sign for you. I'm not going to endorse this unhealthy behavior. You take your medical marijuana somewhere else. You spend your money on something right. Come on, somebody. You stop buying those prescription drugs. Remember, money is amoral. You put it in the hand of someone, they can go buy and get high. You put it in the hand of somebody else that says, I'm done with all that. They can begin to give where there's a need. They can begin to do something good with those resources. And that's what I'm talking about today. It's never too late. Let's train our children. Let's train our children based on the Word of God. As we all stand this morning.